Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome here to Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today, and we always like to invite you to our Zoom fellowship, but this is also the first Sunday of the month, and the first Sunday of the month we have both in-person and also Zoom going at the same time. So if you want to have that experience of being in person, you have to register on, you can find out how to do that on our website. And if you'd like to, you know, join us in Zoom, you could also do that, find out how to do that on our website. But either way, we look forward to seeing you today. And also, if you enjoy what we're doing today, please, we would appreciate your donations to Unity Center of Light, and you can find out how to do that. If you're watching this on YouTube, right below this, you can click on Show More, and you can find out the many different ways you can donate, and the easiest way also is just go to our website. So with that, we are going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, August the 4th. The key word is release, and the affirmation is releasing the past, I make room for the future. My life experiences have provided me with many gifts. From joyous to painful, I have taken something from each one, a nugget of wisdom, understanding, solace, that has helped me evolve into the person I am today. I am always growing, always changing. With gratitude, I receive the blessings while letting the painful memories go. I have no room for regret and do not dwell on things I have no power to change. As I release unwanted thoughts and unpleasant memories, I free myself to enjoy new experiences and create beautiful, lasting memories. With an uncluttered mind and an unburdened heart, I embrace the present moment and eagerly create my bright, beautiful future. And the scripture is from Ecclesiastes 3:6, and it reads, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Amen. Now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today we're going to talk about thoughts in solitude. And it's really interesting when I was asked what I was going to talk about this week, that title came to me, but I had absolutely no idea what I was going to talk about. But part of what we're going to talk about today is we're going to explore the question, what does the Bible say about the value of solitude? And from a website, the website is just titled Got Questions. You know, I found this explanation about the spiritual value of practicing solitude. He says, solitude is a state of being alone, and that's a big part of what we're going to talk about. It is often considered one of the traditional spiritual disciplines. Many times it's associated with silence. The idea is to be alone with God, to pray, to meditate on God's word, which comes in the form of intuitive guidance, ideas, and inspirations, and to simply enjoy being aware that you are in God's presence. And some people use solitude as a way of to distance themselves from distractions of the world, acknowledge the interior of their hearts so that they can hear God speak. Okay, so solitude is time taken to tap into a deeper awareness of the reality that we move and breathe and have our being in the omnipresent, omnipotent omniscience that God is. Okay? However, the spiritual, mental, and emotional benefits are dependent on whether or not the impact of solitude is experienced as being alone, or if it is experienced as loneliness. Okay, so we're going to look at those two dynamics. And through the individual collective experiences, you know, both our individual and collective experiences, our language has created a clear distinction between being alone and being lonely, okay? So the word loneliness expresses a sense of the emotional pain that comes from being alone. And I know if we were having a discussion right now, a lot of discussion could be done around what happened during the pandemic, okay? When many of us were, you know, kind of sequestered into our homes and couldn't get out and interact with people. And that sense of loneliness may have been something that many of us, you know, might have dealt with. But in terms of being alone, as opposed to loneliness, being alone, theologian Paul Tillich, he wrote in his book, The Eternal Now, that the word solitude expresses the glory of being alone, especially in the presence of being a practice of being alone in the presence of God. Okay, so we are all familiar with Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And through our prayer practice, we may have come to realize that it is far easier to be still in solitude. Okay, so when God says, be still and know that I am God, we have hopefully discovered that as we practice do our prayer practice or our meditation practice, that is much easier to be still in solitude. And it's important to point out that there is no good or bad or right or wrong in this discussion about whether or not you're experiencing loneliness or if you actually enjoy being alone, okay? We know that some of us are perfectly happy being alone, and others of us need the presence of other folks to keep us from feeling lonely, okay? And there are those times when we all may long for some alone time and are perfectly happy being by ourselves, okay? But after a while, we may long for the company of others, okay? I remember, a long time ago, back in the 80s, a book named Megatrends was written. And back then, John Nesbitt was his name. Wow, I can't believe I remember that. Was saying that the time would come when we would be mostly working out of our homes, shopping out of our homes. Now, he was saying this back in the 80s, all right? Megatrends, he was predicting the trends of what was coming. But he said it would still be that we would want to go out shopping sometime just to be around other people or go to work just to be around other people. And it's interesting how the pandemic may have even changed that whole dynamic, okay? So the reality of it is that from an emotional personality perspective, we are who we are, okay? And we experience being alone in our own way. Some of us like being alone, you know, having that alone time and being alone, and other of us, we experience that as more of a psychological dynamic of loneliness. But from the viewpoint of advancing ourselves spiritually, we may want to try to understand the emotional state of feeling lonely, okay? Especially if we feel lonely even when we are in the presence of others. Now, hopefully you hear what I'm saying, okay? So in an article written on a website called Nystrom Associates, there's an article written by Hannah Lippitt that may be helpful in learning how to cope with the sense of loneliness, okay? And she shares some daily personal mental practices that might help folks who are struggling with a sense of loneliness. And again, these practices are not meant to be a cure-all, all right? I'm not trying to brush over the dynamic of the feeling of loneliness, because that can be a real emotional dynamic, okay? But she is just sharing these practices that we can do when we have that sense of loneliness. And these are the three things that she shares with us. First, she says, recognize your internal critic. You know, call yourself out when a negative voice takes over. You know, recognize a thought, then just let it go. You know, and we all know we're talking about these negative voices that are going on in our heads. She says, replace it with a positive alternative. Now, for us, as true students, that positive alternative could very well be an affirmation that we use, okay? The second one, she says, is practice self-care. And this includes the basics like, we know, taking care of your physical and mental needs, right? But it also includes fulfilling promises you make to yourself, okay? Did you tell yourself that you would, for example, start walking in the morning for exercise, eat a healthier diet, or whatever the promises you made to yourself? And I think you know what I'm talking about, because we all do that. We make these promises to ourselves. Oh, yeah, I'm going to start doing this, okay? But when you, every time you fulfill a promise, no matter how small, you build more self-trust and confidence within yourself, okay? So practice that one, practicing self-care. And the third one is acknowledge where you are mentally and emotionally. Make peace with your past and, you know, come to terms with your current reality. Part of accepting ourselves is taking note of how and why we got to where we are and what we can do to change that, okay? So those are just some thoughts that was shared in an article. And, you know, simple practices. And I will admit that, you know, they may be easier said than done for some. But they can be done, you know, if we think about, you know, working with those. And the website further explained, if you consistently enjoy being alone, and listen carefully, that's a sign that you have a healthy relationship with yourself, okay? But if you find yourself avoiding alone time at all costs, it may be a sign that you need to work on your relationship with yourself. And that's part of the idea of when you make promises to yourself, keep those promises, you know, do things to take care of yourself mentally and physically, okay? And if you find that you're feeling lonely more often than not, do not be afraid to ask for help, okay? And that's the main point I want to make in terms of the psychological side of this lesson. Don't be afraid to seek help and support when you feel that you need it. So, from a spiritual perspective, our mental state plays a huge role in our spiritual state. So that's why the idea of understanding the difference between being alone, practicing solitude, or being in solitude, as opposed to the psychological dynamic of feeling lonely, okay? Because we want to get our mental state together because it plays a huge role in our spiritual state. And as human beings, our tendency is to think that our way through we think our way through our life experience, okay? And as we stated in last week's lesson from the British physicist James Jean, he said, our life is one big thought. Or as we always say, our life is an outpicturing of our consciousness, okay? And that's why I say we think our way through life. So even though the daily practices stated in this lesson are important for our mental, emotional well-being, understanding the practice of solitude is important to our spiritual well-being. And think of solitude as practice as opposed to a state of loneliness. And also Jesus, and this is another thing to think about, he often invited his disciples to share times of solitude. In other words, he was doing group solitude. Okay, we think a lot about solitude being just by ourselves, but he was practicing with his disciples group solitude. Okay, he would say, come with me, and we're gonna be in the silence together. And there are groups who offer times to sit in the silence as a group. TM is one of them, Transcendental Meditation. You can find groups in the Washington, D.C. area where you can go and just sit in the silence. You know, and some may find that this is a more appealing than sitting by yourself. Okay, so if you want to practice solitude and you think you would do it better in a group, you know, seek out those groups. Okay, but this is what Jesus, what was recorded in Mark 6, 31, 32. It said, then because so many people were coming and going that Jesus and the disciples did not even have a chance to eat. So he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. All right. So basically it's saying that, you know, there are times when you just need to be still by yourself. And that's the nature of solitude. It's a time to be in your favorite quiet place to rest from all the distractions of life. It is alone time, solitude is alone time with God. It's allowing God time to examine us. So you say, well, what was the purpose of solitude? It gives God a chance to examine us and for us to examine our relationship with God. So solitude is a time for knowing God more deeply, okay? A time for strengthening, a time for refreshment, a time for sharing our deepest concerns with God, okay? And as we read in Lamentations 3, 22 through 28, it says, because of the God, of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, meaning consumed by our own inner dynamics, okay? For God's compassion never fails. His compassion, God's compassion is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Okay, there's a song out by that. And I say, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Great is thy faithfulness. So I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait upon the Lord. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let me sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid the need for silence on my mind and on my heart. What did I say, sweetie?
Because we stillness.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, lay the need for stillness on my mind and on my heart. Okay, so solitude is a practice in which you learn how to make yourself available as a place where the Holy Spirit can think about and contemplate you. Now, that might sound counterintuitive, you know. It's like we always say, well, I need to think about the Holy Spirit, or I need to think about God, but I never think about God or the Holy Spirit thinking about and contemplating me. You know, has everyone ever thought about that? Okay. We usually, again, think about ourselves as being in prayer with God, but we haven't thought much about God being in prayer about us. Okay. And the dictionary defines prayer as communion with God. So thoughts in solitude is where you learn to be still and listen for God's prayer for you. All right. So when you have this question of what is my life really all about, well, there's this inner spirit that is praying that prayer that will help you to understand what is my life really all about. It's where you come to understand that while you were trying to communicate with the Holy Spirit is always trying to communicate with you. Okay, that's what we learn in the practice of solitude. In all of our lives, we've been praying, asking, pleading, begging. Now it's time to learn how to just listen. And it is through quiet observance of the divine contemplation of the Holy Spirit within you that you become aware of new insights about your life, yourself, and your relationship with God. Okay? And again, let me say that. So in these quiet times of inner observance, you know, of the divine contemplations of the Holy Spirit within you, which comes up for us as intuitive inspirations, okay? That's how we become aware of these insights that we can use in our life, you know, with ourselves, our relationships, our whatever, okay? So we've had too many experiences where things have happened in our lives or are now happening that appear to be too great, too complicated, too convoluted for there to be any spiritual way out. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. But through the practice of solitude, we become aware of possibilities that are beyond our existing body of knowledge. When we practice solitude, we do not impose our thoughts on God. Instead, we allow God to gently share divine thoughts with us, and that's the whole purpose of it. The only help the Holy Spirit needs from us is to provide the Holy Spirit with an open and receptive mind. That's what's happening in our solitude practice. It's not one that is closed because, you know, it believes that it knows the answer, okay? We don't know the answer, okay? And the thing is, we have to be open and receptive to what is this answer. Okay, it is not one that is closed because it believes it knows the answer. Okay, we don't want to be closed because we think we know the answer. The Holy Spirit needs a mind that is willing to see the greater good that is possible in the situations that are threatening our peace of mind. Okay, that's again. So that's what this Holy Spirit is looking for. Okay, it's looking for us to be open to perceiving the greater good that's possible in whatever is going on in our lives. Okay? So when we provide the Holy Spirit the mental space to contemplate within us, again, the practice of solitude, providing the Holy Spirit with the mental space to contemplate within us, space free of our limited thinking, we become privy to a greater dimension of understanding, and our present body of knowledge is expanded to include ideas and information we usually cannot explain. And you know what I mean. So many times you have come up, every one of us has come up with ideas and things going, wow, I don't know where that came from, okay? And sometimes, you know, I think we're practicing solitude unconsciously a lot of times when you're so caught up in the thought that you can't figure out what's going on. I think our mind shut down, and we just might have moments of solitude, okay? That works too, but we're talking about actually practicing, okay? And we can use this new knowledge that we receive in our practice of solitude to solve the problems in our lives, even though we usually cannot explain how we knew how to do something, okay? We cannot explain it because it did not come from what we already knew. So the new foundation or the newfound information we receive from the Holy Spirit comes because we were willing to be still and allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to contemplate within us without us interrupting and trying to tell God what we think needs to be done. Okay, that's the whole process of solitude. So there's great value in the practice of solitude, where you devote yourself to being an empty vessel to be thought through. Okay, back again to Lord, make me an instrument. Okay, and this is why the idea of solitude is so challenging, because it is where you must learn, we must learn, you must learn to empty yourself of yourself so that you can become filled with the contemplations of the Holy Spirit. Now think about what I'm saying. So in our silence, in our practicing the silence, even though there's a lot of jibber-jabber usually going on in our minds, we are practicing the silence, practicing solitude. The Holy Spirit now has a place to contemplate within us, and we become aware of the contemplations of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is always contemplating a better life for us, but if we're not paying attention, we're not hearing it. For many, this is a very difficult and challenging place to be. It requires entering a mental state where you embrace the moment, not wanting, not needing anything but a holy communion with the Holy Spirit. And we're usually in a state of continuous wanting. So to enter a state of not wanting can be very difficult, if not actually disturbing, okay? Because there's always so many things that our life is demanding. However, if we want to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit praying a prayer within us, we must do the work to develop the inner mental state that will allow this to happen. So solitude engages us in the wilderness experience, basically. Solitude engages us in the wilderness experience. And the revealing word explains that the wilderness is a place within us that is symbolic of a multitude of undisciplined and uncultivated thoughts. We know that. Anytime we try to sit in the silence, all kinds of stuff is running through our head, okay? So if you're feeling like the practice of solitude is too difficult because of the multitude of undisciplined and uncultivated thoughts in your mind, just know that this is part of the practice of solitude, okay? You're sitting and you're kind of just being with what's going on within you. Sort of, I think it was last week we talked about the observer, the observed, and the audience, okay? So there's always this observer-observed process going on. And so we want to learn how to practice being in solitude, even though these undisciplined and uncultivated thoughts keep running through our minds. And even the two greatest figures in the Bible, you hear me say this all the time, Jesus and Moses had to go through the wilderness experience because they dedicated themselves to God's service. They each had their own wants and needs that they had to learn to subordinate to the Holy Spirit within them. So the wilderness represents a place in which there is nothing to want. And I'm going to explain this further. It is only when we are in a state of consciousness where there is nothing to want that we're truly free to be open and receptive to the presence of the Holy Spirit. So to truly experience a solitude, we must be willing to enter the wilderness for a while. Now, Thomas Merton, the great Catholic mystic who lived between 1915 and 1968, he explained it this way. He said, the Desert Fathers believed that the wilderness had been created as supremely valuable in the eyes of God precisely because it had no value to them, to us, okay? The wasteland was the land that could not be wasted by anyone because it offered them nothing. There was nothing to attract them. There was nothing to exploit. The desert was created simply to be itself, not to be transformed by us into something else. The desert is therefore the logical dwelling place for those who seek to be nothing but his or herself, okay? And that is to say, a solitary being, poor, dependent, open, and receptive to God alone, with no great project standing between myself and my Creator. That's a powerful expression, okay? So it's not about going into the mind and trying to, you know, because a lot of times we'll go and say, well, I got to figure this out, so let me get still. And, you know, so we're taking this project into our solitude time. It's just a time to be still, okay? It is your time of solitude that you enter into the wilderness experience. And the wilderness is where there is nothing for you to want but the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in the Bible, it says that both Jesus and Moses did this for a period of time. Okay, we know about 40 years for Moses, 40 days and nights for Jesus. The chosen people and the chosen people were made to do it for a period of time, 40 years in the wilderness. All right, so the number 40 is often used to symbolize the length of time it takes for an individual or a group of individuals to come into a state where they are mindful that God is present and ready to meet their every need. Boy, that just popped into my head about this group of individuals could be the United States right now, that we, the America, needs a group of individuals who can be mindful of what God has in store for us. And so the last sentence of Thomas Merton's quote could be disturbing to some if you do not understand what it's saying. You know, the desert is therefore the logical dwelling place for the man who seeks to be nothing but himself. That is to say, a solitary being, poor, dependent upon no one but God, with no great project standing between myself and my Creator. Okay, so the word poor, as it is used here, means to be without your own personal agenda. It means to be able to come to the Holy Spirit with nothing on your mind, nothing, you know, asking for nothing, having no project, no requests, no wants or needs, having nothing but your presence. Again, that's the challenge of solitude, right? You're just coming naked, so to speak, mentally, emotionally naked, right? And this is not saying, you know, that we should not ask God for what you need. We're not saying that. What it's saying is that in the practice of solitude, this is, it's different, okay? Here you're not asking. You're just being in the presence of God. And quite often when we ask, you know, when we're asking for this, because we feel that God does not already know what we need, okay? Even though we know in Matthew 6, 8, it says your Father knows what you want even before you ask. And so that's our asking. That's our dynamic. We think we need to, you know, specifically ask. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it says in Scripture, ask and you will receive, okay? But we, you know, we ask, and we ask specifically because that is our way. This is what I need God to do, okay? And quite often what we ask for is far less than we could receive because we limit ourselves, not on purpose, It is that we are limited by our inability to know all that is possible for us. So that's why a lot of times in unity you'll hear us say this or something greater. Okay, but even that, you know, it's sort of like just, you know, like the Father knows what you want even before you ask, because God is part, the Holy Spirit is part of all the thoughts that go through your mind. So in the stillness, you're listening for what the Holy Spirit has been contemplating for you through all of the thoughts that have been going in your mind, going on in your mind, to bring to you intuitively that which you will find to be the most inspiring, the greatest guidance. So this is why asking is not wrong. It is just that it is limiting, because we have no way of knowing all that is possible for us. However, practicing solitude places you in a state of mind where, for a moment, you are not mindful of your wants and needs. It places you in a state of mind where, for a moment, you are only mindful of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit thinking within you. Solitude allows you to allow God to truly be God through you and your life and affairs. And that's what this lesson is all about. Learning to be mindful of the moment. Learning to be still and allow the Holy Spirit the opportunity to pray and contemplate you. And if you diligently engage yourself in practicing moments of solitude, you will eventually come to the conclusion that what you do not know about what is possible for you in your life is a whole lot greater than you thought. Okay? What you do, when you really get into the thing, you'll find that there's so much more that's for your life, but you had no idea of it. Okay, until you got seriously into the practice of solitude. So I'm going to leave you with this quote to contemplate from Myrtle Fillmore's book, How to Let God Help You. It's in chapter 26. And it says, in the descent of our soul into form, in other words, when we were born, okay, there must have been some great purpose for each of us to work out. Or else the world of manifestation is but an idle dream. Okay, she said, there we are here for something specific. That's why we came into form. And there is little comfort to be gotten out of our struggles with experiences here if they count for nothing. But shown the golden purpose that links our efforts and struggles with life's ascending spiral, we feel that we belong above in higher states of consciousness and not below in lower states of consciousness. And knowing this, we are reconciled with the climb that we find ourselves doing to get to higher states of consciousness, okay? So that's, you know, from Myrtle Fillmore. And I'm gonna leave you with this affirmation, which is from yesterday, Saturday's Science of Mind magazine. And it says, by just being here, I know I have a divine purpose. By just being here, I know I have a divine purpose. I want the people who are in Zoom and the people who are here in person to say that with me. By just being here, I know I have a divine purpose. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So family, find that place that allows you time for yourself and where you are comfortable. Close your eyes or lower your gaze, focusing softly on whatever is in front of you. Make sure you are sitting in a way that you feel relaxed and also alert, with your back straight but not strained. When you are comfortable, take in 3 deep breaths. As you breathe in and out, feel the sensations of breath filling your body and leaving your body. Connect with these sensations as fully as you can. Feel a sense of energy on the in-breath and sense of letting go on the out-breath, relaxing into the seat beneath you. After the 3 breaths, let your breath return to its normal rhythm and keep paying attention to the sensations of breathing in and out. Do you ever feel like you are trying to force some outcome in your life? Maybe you want someone or something to change so that you will be happier. Have you noticed that after you have struggled and finally given up, then that which you were seeking finds you? This art of letting go and letting God seems to be a repeated life lesson for us all. The poem called The Answer, written by Lowell Fillmore, the son of our co-founders of Unity, is one of my favorite poems because it speaks to a journey from being frustrated and using force in seeking our desires to allowing the blessings of God to flow. I found this poem again recently and realized what a reminder it is of the power of releasing and allowing God to be God in my life. Here is the poem. When for a purpose I had prayed and prayed and prayed until my words seemed worn and bare with arduous use, and I had knocked and asked and knocked and asked again, and all my fervor and persistence brought no hope, I paused to give my weary brain a rest and ceased my anxious cry. And in that still moment, after self had tried and failed, there came a glorious vision of God's power, and lo, my prayer was answered in that hour. Please take those words of this poem into the silence and release your fears, control, and outcomes to the Holy Spirit within. We give our deepest thanks this day to you, Lord of our being. We know you know our needs and desires, and we trust in your word and your light. For all these blessings, we give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and join us.
All right, sweetie. Thank you. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds and allow some of the treasure that comes into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. I will, we're going to say the prosperity prayer together, but I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings. As they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. Now we have Light Notes with Pamela.
Next Sunday, August the 14th, our guest speaker is Kelly Isola of Project Sanctus. Her talk is titled Hippo Birdie to You in Celebration of Charles Fillmore's August Birthday. Her talk will be inspiring, so join us. Backpacks and school supplies. Unity Center of Light believes in the school supplies program. The Bowie Food Pantry cannot support this due to shortage of personnel and other resources. We would like to support it anyway. We can. So between now and August the 29th, you may email Patty and let her know when you will bring supplies to the Ken Hill Center. The Book Light Book Club is reading the book Dying to Be Me by Anita Morjani. This is an inspirational memoir where Anita shares all she has learned about illness, healing, fear, and being love and the magnificence of each human being. The discussion for this book will take place on Sunday, September the 11th on Zoom from 1 to 3 p.m. The link will be posted closer to that date. And that's our announcements for today. And so now we are going to bless the path that we walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
And now we'll go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. Hopefully if you had a chance to check in on Zoom with us, and we will see you next week. And please do be ready to listen to Kelly, because she is really a fantastic speaker and brings a lot of new insight. Other than that, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.